Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So now we're going to look ahead to some of the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead. I'm joined in the studio by producer and director Brian Redden and freelancer arts journalist Aoife Barry. Good to have you with us.
Good to hear.
So we're going to start with The Last of Us. This was massive, the first season. And I suppose it shows us that some stories from games can translate onto the screen and work well. Is this going to match up now to season one?
That is the big question. So the preview episodes aren't out yet. So this choice is really to let people know this is coming up on the 14th of April.
Yeah, shooting in the dark. We
exactly.
Don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, looking ahead to the month ahead, there's some really great series coming out, but we just haven't, the critics haven't had a chance to watch them yet. And I think it's really exciting to kind of sometimes go back and even rewatch the first series, because I couldn't remember a lot of what happened. We were glued to it, though. It was like 32 million viewers per episode of The Last of Us in 2023. People will know that it was based on the computer game. So you had Pedro Pascal playing Joel and Bella Ramsey playing Ellie at the end of the first series. They were kind of sent off into Wyoming, into what seemed to be a lovely, quite kind of calm, nice community in the midst of this kind of wildness where you had this fungus overtaking people and on these zombies taking over
fungus.
The world.
I'd forgotten about the fungus.
The fungus, the cordyceps fungus. So we know that the series will open with them in Wyoming. It's 5 years later. So, I mean, that's interesting. I think a lot of times these days you'll get a series where there actually won't be that much of a gap between what just happened the last time you saw them and when you catch up with them. So 5 years has passed. And what we do know is there could be some really shocking twists happening in the second series involving some major characters if it follows the way that the game goes. So be prepared for this. We also know that Caitlin Dever is coming in as a new character called Abby, who wants revenge for her father's death, and the person who killed her father is Joel, played by Pedro Pascal. So there's some really big things coming down the line with this, and there's just going to be a huge amount of attention on what's happening. And I think the hope and belief is that it's going to be as high a standard as it was. The guy who made it was Craig Mazin, who also made Chernobyl, another really high quality HBO
series. And they've left a good enough gap time wise in real time between the two. They haven't rushed this one, would it be right in saying?
Exactly. So about 2 years or so. Okay. And obviously you had like the actor strikes and things like that happening too, but it doesn't feel rushed. All indications are that it will pretty much follow what happened with the game first time around. We'll figure out what those twists and turns are going to be. I don't want to say too much, but don't read about them if you don't want to be shocked. Okay. So yeah, 14th of April, you'll get to catch that on Sky Atlantic and Now TV as well too.
I'm struck by you saying there were 32 million views per episode.
Per episode, yeah.
Because I was just looking this morning, Adolescents, everyone's talking about it. It's up to 66 million views now, that
wow.
series. Isn't it incredible?
Like,
it really is. When something catches people's attention these days, I mean, it's really hard in a way to catch attention because there's so much business. When it does, you really do get the eyes on it. And like, if we remember back, every single one of us was glued to The Last of Us when it was on TV. So it's one of the big events, but there's so many other great series coming out in April too. It's jam-packed here.
Good.
It's almost too much good stuff.
Delighted to hear it. So
The Residence.
I've seen this popping up on my Netflix feed. Wasn't sure about it, but you say it's really good, Brian.
It is. It's good crack. If you liked, do you know that those Knives Out movies with Daniel Craig? If you like that, you'll absolutely love this. So it's on Netflix now. So all episodes are there, and it's really good. The residence in question is the residence in the White House. So it's the place where the president lives. So the whole premise of the whole thing, and it's all set in the White House. Brilliantly set in the White House. They recreated the White House. It's uncanny, it really is. Apparently, one of the chief ushers, a former chief usher from the White House, is a technical advisor on this. So all of the rooms were recreated exactly as they are in the White House. And it's very inventively shot, so you get to see everywhere. So basically, the premise is very simple. There's a state dinner going on. The president is holding a state dinner for the Prime Minister of Australia. Upstairs in the residence, a chief usher, played by Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad, he is found dead. It appears to be a suicide. They call in the world's greatest detective, who's a bit like, you know, Hercule Poirot and the Daniel Craig character in Knives Out, played by Uzo Aduba, and she's absolutely brilliant. She's quite eccentric. She's a little bit mad. But she comes in and decides this is not a suicide, this is a murder. So she locks the place down. The president and all the president's people, the Prime Minister of Australia and all those dignitaries there cannot leave the White House until she interviews everybody and tries to figure out who did it. So over the course of each episode, you kind of discover that almost everybody in the White House had a reason to knock this guy off. You know, everybody fell out with him at some point. And slowly but surely, the truth gets revealed. You'll find out at the very end who did it. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you, but you'll find out at the end who did it. But there's lots of different, you know, there's twists and turns in it. But it's incredibly funny, incredibly witty, and really, really clever. And shot so well.
So how do you characterise it? Is it a comedy?
It's definitely a comedy. Like, it's not really billed as a comedy, but it's definitely a comedy. It's very quirky. All the characters are very funny. And it's shot very quirky. It's like a Wes Anderson movie. Like, sometimes the camera will, you know, there'll be a scene and the camera will pull out wide, and then you'll see the whole place looks like a Lego set, and it kind of, the camera will pan down into the next floor. So it's kind of really inventive the way, apparently they built the set over 7 different sound stages in Hollywood. The set itself is like, because it's called The Residence is a character in it, you know.
Yes.
But it's really impressive, and it's fun. It's really fun. Great lines and a great dialogue, great
That's
performances.
That's another one. That's a good one.
Yeah, it's a real simple, just wash over you, but it's really, really cool. I liked it a lot.
We need that these days. Yeah. Something to take your mind off the real world.
The Residence, that's streaming on Netflix now. Now, the next one is on Now TV. Now, this is a show that hasn't been available here before. Homicide: Life on the Street, Aoife.
Yeah, so you know the way there was a good few years everybody was getting obsessed with shows like The Wire. It's one of those ones where, like, you have to have seen The Wire. People are really into police procedurals, detective procedurals, you know, think of, you know, Law and Order, things like that. There's all these, like, classic series. But on top of that, you have this idea of, like, the golden age of television, where, like, The Sopranos really kicked off this era of the golden age of television and HBO, and these big series of big characters and kind of, you know, philosophical almost element to them. And the precursor to that was Homicide: Life on the Street. It's such an interesting series. When I just started watching it myself, and it was one that I had in the back of my mind as one that I'd love to always watch, but was never available in Ireland. If you wanted to look up the, you know, DVD box that it was, like, around €100 to buy it, now you can watch it on Now TV. So it's based on a David Simon book called Homicide: Life on the Killing Streets. People might recognise that name because he actually was one of the showrunners behind The Wire, which was also set in Baltimore. This is set in Baltimore too. Quite similar to The Wire in many ways. You're following police detectives as they're investigating different crimes. It was shot on handheld camera on 16mm, so it looks really cool. And you get all these great conversations between the characters. It really does this, like, philosophy around how they're talking. You know, they're really kind of, like, you know, wisecracking, and they're going through all these difficult experiences. And it really sets the tone and sets the scene for a lot of what we see now on television. So it's really great that it's actually finally available for us to watch. And there's some great writing out there about it, if you to read about the characters. People like Andre Brauer, who died there, I think, last year or the year before. Daniel Baldwin was really young. Richard Belcher, who ended up being on Law and Order, reprising that character. So it's great if you want to get into your TV history and you're also a big fan of police procedurals, then Homicide: Life on the Street will be one you'll find yourself very obsessed with.
All right. And for fans of The Wire, of course, as well.
Gone out. Yeah. If you're a fan of The Wire, you got to be watching this too.
Homicide: Life on the Street, available on Now TV. Now, the next one is Apple TV. It's called The Studio. Brian, I always get suspicious when I think this cast is just too starry, because sometimes I feel they think that's enough. But is this good?
It's brilliant. I tell you, it's one of the best things I've seen in years. It's so good.
Oh.
There's two episodes that just started yesterday. We were just talking about it outside. I watched the two episodes last night and then watched them again. They were that good because I kept missing.
You did not.
I'm not joking. I actually sat. Well, I fell asleep from first time round.
But you're nerding out here because it's about the business.
So that's it. So I have to allow for that I'm a complete movie nerd. So I'm watching this from a movie nerd's perspective, and it's movie nerd nirvana, if that's such a thing. It's absolutely brilliant. It really is, I have to say. And you're right, because, you know, sometimes when Hollywood makes movies about themselves, it can be a bit, you know, navel-gazing, you know. You're going, oh, aren't we great? Isn't life so hard? It was such a great, brave performance. You braved going out there, you know, stepping out of your trailer. And isn't it horrible? And life's so difficult for you. You had to stand in the lake for 2 minutes. But actually, this is kind of taking the piss out of that kind of attitude, you know. So basically the idea is, it's called The Studio. A studio head played by Catherine O'Hara, the brilliant Catherine O'Hara, has been fired. She's replaced by a younger guy called Seth Rogen. Now, he's got this big studio and they've got big, massive franchises. They want to make billions of dollars. But his problem is that he loves cinema. He loves arthouse cinema. He wants to make important movies. And the head of the studio, or the boss of the overall studio, called Bryan Cranston. Bryan Cranston, actor, calls him in and says to him, listen, Seth, here's the thing. We want to make billions of dollars. We don't want to make art, right? And we've just bought a franchise, and our franchise is Kool-Aid. So you know in America they have Kool-Aid. You know that drink?
Yeah.
It's like My Wadi or whatever it is. So apparently there's a Kool-Aid man. I don't know. I've never heard of him.
There's also really dark stories around Kool-Aid and cults and things like that too. So it's a hard sell.
It's a hard sell considering, like, the Jim Jones massacre in wherever that was. Where's that? In Guyana?
Yeah, I think in Guyana.
Where they all drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah. Anyway, they've got this Kool-Aid character, and they want to make a movie out of this Kool-Aid character. So your man's going, oh my God, I don't don't want to make a Kool-Aid Man. And they're going, look, Warner Brothers made $1 billion out of Barbie. We can make $2 billion out of the Kool-Aid Man. And he goes, but I just announced to the press that I want to make all these art house movies. I can't make a movie about Kool-Aid. So in the first episode, he manages to persuade Martin Scorsese to make the Kool-Aid movie. But Martin Scorsese, funny you mention that, thinks he's making a movie about that tragedy.
About Jim Jones, yeah.
And not about Kool-Aid. So it kind of spins off from that. So there's lots of starry cameos in it. Martin Scorsese plays himself in it. He's absolutely brilliant in it. Charlize Theron is in it as well, playing herself. A lot of kind of star cameos pop up. But it's kind of a...
Zac Efron, Ron Howard.
Yeah, they're all in it. Ron Howard, all playing kind of nasty versions of themselves. So Seth Rogen created this, co-created it with a guy called Evan Goldberg, who makes lots of movies with, and he wrote it and he directed it and he stars in it, so it's really his baby. But you know, we were talking about adolescence there earlier on.
Yeah.
The way that's all shot with one take. In this, the second episode of this, which I've seen, is called The Oneer, and The Oneer in Hollywood is the one take, famously from films like, you know, Touch of Evil with Orson Welles or The Start of the Player. Here's my geeky nerdy thing coming out, right? I saw all those single one shots. So in the second episode, they're doing a single oneer shot in a movie, which he wants to go and watch. But the whole thing is shot as one shot. So it's really interesting the way they shoot it as well. So,
right, but that's
I love it.
A winner for you, The Studio on Apple TV, and that's out now. Well, the first two episodes are out now. Now, Black Mirror is back on Netflix. And I know you both love this, Aoife. You like this one as well, don't you?
Yeah, so 10th of April, people will be, I'm sure, familiar with it, but if they're not, Charlie Brooker is the creator of it. And it's really interesting following Charlie Brooker's career because he was a journalist and then did, you know, there was a TV wipe. He had a really great series he did and he wrote books on it, and he's always really sardonic and really casts this kind of, you know, sarcastic eye on what happens in the TV world. So for him to be making TV shows is really, really interesting, and he always tends to have kind of a dystopian viewpoint, looking to the future, interrogating what's happening. The idea of the Black Mirror is literally the idea of looking at your phone, the phone being a black mirror. This new series is out on the 10th of April, and what's interesting about it, I was reading an interview that he did with Empire Magazine where they went and visited him on the set, the big Netflix set that it was filmed on, and he was saying that as the world gets more dystopian, actually you want television to be more escapist, which indicated that the episodes that are coming up in this new series will be perhaps a little less dystopian, although they're going to be undoubtedly discussing things that are happening in the world. We do know as well what's different is that some of the episodes are going to return to older stories, whereas Black Mirror is an anthology series where every season the episodes are all about different things, and now we're going back into some of the old worlds, like the episode USS Callister, which was set in a kind of a computer game that's based on Star Trek. So that's going to be coming back. And also another episode related to the episode Bandersnatch, which if people will remember was an interactive episode that you could watch and you could use your controls on your remote control to change the story of it. So it's really interesting. There's going to be an unbelievable cast. Paul Giamatti, Tracy Ellis Ross, Rashida Jones, Emma Corrin, they're in an episode that's kind of influenced by Brief Encounter. So you've got like a really widespread of different eras as well going on in it. And Kristen Milioti comes back in the episode about the USS Callister, Will Poulter as well. So six episodes, 10th of April, and we'll all be
Chris O'Dowd as well.
Chris O'Dowd, exactly.
Irish actor,
he's going to be back there too. So yeah, can't wait for that to come
on. And just a mention of an Irish one before we finish, Fran the Man. This is a cinema pick in cinemas on the 11th of April, Aoife.
Yeah, there's two great Irish films coming out at the end of the month, or the middle of the month. Fran the Man, mockumentary directed by Stephen Bradley, about a guy called Fran Costello. It's based on a series that was on Stetanta Sports. And then you also have Free Walk out on the 25th of April if you like your horror.
Okay, thank you so much, Aoife and Brian. That brings us to the end of the programme. Thank you very much for listening. The show was produced by series producer Niamh Lyons, researched by A.B. Philpin-Bowen, our broadcast coordinators Alexander Lopatine and Michelle Gibson. Mark McGraw was on sound.